ready? Here we go.
The Hit Breakfast Show. Spotlight has everything you need to create, decorate and celebrate this Christmas. The Cliffo and Gabby podcast has everything you need in a podcast.
Hello, hello, hello. This is the Cliffo and Gabby podcast. Your phone case matches your dress today. I've just noticed that.
Yeah, it does.
They're both very, very Barbie pink, aren't they?
It's funny you say that because I did a load of washing and I had everything hung up inside to dry and I looked at the clothes horse and I very much have a colour thing going on in my wardrobe.
Yeah, my
it's
daughter,
all pink and red.
My daughter loves your dresses.
They're all pink and red. There was the occasional blue.
I don't know if you ever have this because you don't have young kids. It's just you and Nev. But the odd tissue in the wash, the odd tissue in the laundry has become a real thing in our house because my daughter has a bit of a snotty nose and we're forever telling her to wipe it. But then the tissue goes in the pocket, goes in the wash.
That's so annoying.
And there's nothing you can do.
No.
Like the rewash won't get it out. You just got to, you know, put up with
it. I wonder
if
there's a hack on that.
Yeah,
Hacky
you know what,
Gabby's
look that up for
on
Hacky
the case.
Gabby, because what I generally do is like I'll put some in the dryer and then, you know, whatever goes in the dryer and then I'll hang some up as well too and then just give it all a shake out before
just
you
shake
fold it.
But it's just, you're still picking bits off when you put them on, aren't you?
There's one for Hacky Gabby.
All right, I'll look into it.
Queen of the Lazy Girl Hacks.
I'm on it.
We love her. This is the Cliffo and Gabby podcast, guys. This is where we just spitball ideas and it becomes content for the show.
We are having the great Christmas tree debate this morning. It is Camp Cliffo, which is anything goes, versus Camp Gabby, which is catalogue perfection when it comes to decorating the Christmas tree. Mm. Which camp do you belong in and why is that better?
We are Lady and the Tramp. Mm. So you are the lady with the
perfection.
Perfect background.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean?
The perfect Instagram tree.
From the other side of the tracks. You know, there's paddle pop sticks. Bits of crepe paper.
Was it like that before, kids?
No, not really. It was a bit better. But the one that I know really riles you up is just baubles from different packets over the years that don't match.
You've got to match them. You don't buy different coloured baubles.
We just let the kids go stupid. And then, yeah, that's the tree. So whatever baubles.
Are they all like bunched in one spot
goes,
as well?
100%, mate.
Oh, I bet they are.
I mean, you know what we need to do? We'll take a photo of either your Christmas tree at home or the one you set up here at work. Mm. And we'll take a photo of mine
compare
at home.
Them.
We'll do that later on today and we'll put it up at our Insta at Cliffo and Gabby. But 131060, the great debate. Crystal, are you team Cliffo or Gabby? Catalogue perfection or anything goes on your tree?
Definitely anything goes.
Anything goes.
Really?
Yes.
Have you been like this your whole life, Crystal?
No. I used to have catalogue perfection, loved everything to match, but now anything goes.
Yeah. Kids will do that, won't they?
You're a good parent, Crystal. I don't think I'll fall into the camp of good parent.
Amanda on 131060. Amanda, which side are you on? Catalogue perfection or anything goes?
Anything goes, definitely.
Anything goes.
All right, so explain the look of your Christmas tree for us.
All right, well, decorations that are very ugly from your children from times past. You have you have ornaments from your childhood that was very special to you that your mom and dad gave you as children.
I love that.
So it is a conglomeration of ugliness, but altogether it's a beautiful life.
I love that. And you're such a family strong person, Gabby.
That's a good argument.
I can't. Yeah. Are we going to turn you, maybe?
No.
It's all right. No,
good
okay.
argument,
good
but
argument,
I'm not sold.
But you're wrong. thank you, Amanda. 131060 is our phone number. Monique, you're next. The great Christmas tree debate. Catalogue perfection or anything goes?
Catalogue perfection all the way.
What's your argument for perfection, Monique?
Well, it's got to look good for Christmas. I mean, I let my kids do what they want, make it look however they like, and I sneak in when they're asleep and make it back to catalogue perfection.
Do they notice?
There's going to be a day they notice, Monique.
Yeah, they're starting to get at that age.
Yeah,
hey,
your plan's going to be fine. Yeah.
Nah, they'll suck it up.
You perfection people are so cold.
They'll suck it up. They'll figure it out. They'll realise it looks better.
That's such a catalogue perfection thing to say. They'll suck it up.
Birdman Bob is my dad. He is a fabulous human being. And whenever we have conversations, it's probably once a week to once a fortnight, we just talk about anything and everything and the conversation goes forever. Like, he's just a great chat. We wouldn't normally talk about COVID in general life. However, because my wedding is coming up in June, it does pop its head into our conversations every now and then because, you know, restrictions for weddings are a thing and them traveling from New South Wales is a thing. So occasionally COVID pops in. I don't think Dad watches much news though. So well, a lot of the time,
a lot of good bird documentaries.
Yes. Right.
To be watched.
Exactly.
And bird books to be read.
And birds just to be birds watched to be in his admired. Aviaries.
That's
exactly.
Right.
So sometimes a little bit gets lost in translation. And there was a conversation we had that went around in circles and I can't even explain it properly. So we're going to do a reenactment of the entire conversation. And Cliffo, you get to play the role of Birdman Bob.
I'm very excited about this.
Yeah.
I don't know how you're sitting down right now. Like I've stood up.
You're so excited.
I was doing some warm-ups, some vocal warm-ups and stuff off the air.
He was in the mirror going, I am Birdman Bob.
That's right. Like this is like my high school drama days are back. So I'm going to play the role of Birdman Bob just to try and, you know,
recreate.
Get this conversation, recreate this conversation on the air because it's so complex that it has to be recreated.
Yes.
There's no use talking about it when you can just do it.
Exactly. So you kick it off, please, Birdman
can
Bob.
You give me an action.
3, 2, 1, action.
Gab, did you hear about this new COVID strain?
Omicron? Yeah. Who said it could be pretty, I don't know, high global risk or something?
I don't know. Who said that?
What?
You asked who said that, and I don't know.
No, who was the one that said that?
I don't know who.
No, who? The World Health Organization, WHO, who?
Gab, you know I hate acronyms.
Cut! We got off the phone, and I was like, oh my God, that was such a mind boggle that went around and around, but it felt weirdly familiar.
Dude, what does my tattoo say?
Sweet!
What about mine?
Dude, what does mine say?
Sweet!
What about mine?
Dude, what does mine say?
Sweet!
Yeah, I don't know if that's who you want your conversations compared to.
I don't think so.
Alpha Bucks, it's back for the final time this week. $1,000 on the line to get you through to Christmas, Gabs. Our clue for the day is...
Yeah, the answer you need is princess. When I say princess, who do you think of?
You.
Oh, I was going to say Princess Fiona, who then turns into an ogre.
I was going to say Princess Mary, our Aussie princess, you know.
Princess.
Yeah, the actual princess of Denmark. Huh. But anyway, it says a lot about us, really, doesn't it?
It does. It really does.
Princess is your free Alpha Bucks clue for the morning at HIT.
Helping Ham starts Monday, where we are going to start dishing them out, and you can nominate someone who deserves a helping ham at hit.com.au. But with all this talk about ham, the conversation started in the office about how a piece of pork becomes so magical at Christmas time. So we thought we'd talk to the guy who makes the Christmas hams for Cornett's IGAs, who are providing them for our helping hams, Alistair Stevenson. How are you?
I'm good, guys. Thanks for having me.
So, Alistair, you work for a company called Gillies Small Goods. You make the hams for IGA.
Yes, we do.
Oh, my God. Do you get to eat your own product?
We do. We do taste test nearly everything. I've got a QA manager that will sit on the end of the line each day and taste everything to make sure it ticks all the boxes, and she's pretty ruthless.
Right.
Cliff, okay. I want to know how he gets
how
that job.
How do we get rid of her? And install me into that position. That sounds amazing. We have to talk.
That'd be hard.
Yeah, right. Okay. She's a good employee. You keep her. But give me a call if it ever opens up, Alistair.
I've got your number now.
We have to answer the question because Gabby posed this, and it's a good question. Like, how does ham go from being a piece of pork, like a leg of pork?
Because I don't even like pork.
Nikita doesn't even
love
a pork eater, but
ham.
Loves ham. So how do you go from having pork to ham?
Well, there's a bit of a process involved. So we've got our own farms out in the Burnett Valley. So the pigs come off the farm, we process them. So we'll bone them into legs, middles, shoulders. We'll cure them for 48 hours. Then you cook.
What's curing? Is that salt?
Yeah, salt, phosphates and nitrites to, you know, the nitrites bring out the pink and the salts obviously is a preserver. So that's where all your flavour comes from.
Uh-huh. Yeah, lovely.
And then obviously we traditionally wood smoke it, which gives you that beautiful, nice smoky flavour in the product.
Oh, I love that so much.
Is that it?
That's pretty much it.
Wow.
Unfortunately, it isn't magic, but...
I was expecting, you know, and then we put some fairy dust and then Santa gives his blessing.
Unicorn and droppings.
And we all cheers with eggnog.
Safe to say, I think we've lost every vegan listener.
Yeah, we would have.
Sorry to both of you guys. but that is the process. So essentially the ham is cured, which I've heard of curing meat before. Yeah. It's salted.
And then smoked.
And then it's smoked. And then that's why we can eat the ham straight off the bone, because it's already cooked.
Straight off the bone. So it's all ready to eat. Obviously, people like to put their own touch on it at Christmas time and glaze the ham, which obviously then becomes a bit of a centerpiece for the table.
They need it. I'm not a glazer.
I'm not either, but I want to ask you, Alistair, because this is a conversation, well, more of an argument that happens in my household, because my fiance loves a baked glazed ham for Christmas. I prefer it just to eat it straight off the bone.
El natural.
Which is your preferred method of eating it, Alistair?
Well, I've grown up eating ham, and my dad always glazes it at Christmas, so it's become a tradition for us.
Right, wrong answer.
I like a glaze. Personally, I like a glaze because I don't have to do it.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, but if it came down to you, natural's fine.
Yeah, natural's fine. And then, you know, the next day, eating it cold with leftover potato salad or whatever, you can't beat it.
So good. All right, and we are giving away these bad boys, whole legs of double-smoked Oakfield ham. It's all thanks to the legends at Cornets IGA. Get your double-smoked Oakfield ham only at Cornets Supermarkets. And the guy who makes them from Gillies Small Goods, Alistair Stevenson, thank you for the run-through, mate. Appreciate it.
You're most welcome.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
We threw it out there earlier this morning. We wanted to talk to someone who has been a celebrity stunt double. We know a lot of celebs out there don't do their own stunts on big blockbusters, so someone has to do it. And we do have Lucy Romberg on with us right now. How are you, Lucy?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
It's great to have you on, Lucy. Now, you are all the way over in LA, so producer Brooke has gone far and wide this morning to find you. And is it true, she tells us that you have been a stunt double, Lucy, for, drumroll please, Melissa McCarthy?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, I've been with Melissa for, 10 years now. So, yeah.
Wow. That's a big one, Gabby.
So on what kind of movies have you been a stunt double for Melissa? Because she's done some interesting roles.
Yeah. I'm in her contract, which, you know, in Hollywood is very rare to find that kind of loyalty. So I'm super fortunate to, you know, get to work with Melissa over and over again. But the first show I worked with her on was called Identity Thief. I got hit by a car. And then we worked together, and the next time on a movie called Spy in Budapest in 2014. So that's kind of where we, you know, kind of started off things. And then I got in her contract, and it's kind of been, just an amazing adventure.
How did you get in her contract? Did you guys get close on set, or she just really values your work, or how did all that come about?
Melissa is a very intelligent person, and she pays attention to a lot of things. And so, you know, she cares a lot about her stunt double and how she looks on camera, and, you know, she's very specific. So I guess I did a good enough job to where I was fortunate enough to get that that position. So, yeah, I think I was just pretty lucky, and, you know, just the way that Melissa is, how cool and loyal she is, that just kind of helped seal the deal. So
tell us a bit more about the stunts you've done. Is there anything crazy dangerous that you've had to train for and try to pull off?
Well, I was a national champion gymnast in college, and so, you know, just having an athletic background is important. Being comfortable with your stunt coordinator and making sure that you got that we have the proper rehearsal time, and if something feels too dangerous, doesn't feel right, then you just don't do it. One movie is not worth your life or being injured. So, just rehearsing over and over until everyone feels comfortable. And, you know, when the DP is like, hurry up, it's, you know, stunt coordinator's job to be like, hold up, this is safety. Let's take a minute here. And, we make it as cool and as exciting and safe as possible.
That'd be a really hard call to make against some of those Hollywood types at times. But like you said, a movie's not worth your life. We couldn't get a celebrity stunt double on without asking the inevitable question. Worst injury you have sustained in the line of duty?
I've been lucky, actually. I've only been in the hospital twice, and both times involved getting stitches in my forehead. So one on the left, one on the right. So I'm even now, so I'm good to go. I don't need any more, I guess, right?
Right. You don't need any more or want any more for that matter.
Correct.
What's the most fun stunt you've had to do?
I would have to say hanging from the skid pad of a helicopter on the movie Spy. I mean, just it feels like you're flying and floating. Like, it was the craziest, cool experience. I was, of course, attached on a wire, of course, safety-wise. But just when the helicopter pilot in the movie was trying to, like, kick Melissa off of it, and he was, like, doing all these crazy maneuvers, and I was just, it literally felt like you were flying. Like, the most gnarly, amazing roller coaster you've ever been on, so... I hope I get to do that again someday. That was awesome.
I can't wrap this up without asking this question. Producer Brooks sent us a note. You've actually appeared on the TV show True Blood as well. Oh, just I have to ask because just such a huge fan of that show. What was your role on True Blood? What did you do there?
I doubled Anna Paquin on the pilot, and then my good friend Heidi Pasco started doubling her after that. And then I went on a couple other episodes. To be completely honest, I don't remember.
Oh, my God.
I think it was, like, all, like, running and jumping over a fence
you
or something.
Probably,
like,
got eaten by a vampire,
show,
I would say.
I don't remember.
Died a very bloody, tragic death. Lucy Romberg.
I don't know.
Is this woman's name. She is a celebrity stunt double, and she is written into Melissa McCarthy, Hollywood Royalty's contract to be her stunt double. So such a great one for Never Gonna Get One. Lucy Romberg, celebrity stunt double. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thanks so much, guys. Have a good day.
Clifo and Gabby's Naughty 640. Can
you
handle what I'm
about to do? Yeah. Are you ready?
I'm never ready.
Okay, so this is where I write parental erotica. So it's normal stuff, but it's written erotic style. Mm. I always write from my wife's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I write better as a woman. Naughty 640, volume 57.
Oh my God, we're getting up there.
57. It comes, but once a year, my insides churn and my loins, they burn. I crave his meat. Can you feel the heat? So hot, bring a fan. It's arrived. His leg of ham.
It's even rhyming today.
Oh, right. Well, that's the end of the rhymes.
Oh.
Lower your expectations. There's something sexy in a kind of horror movie way about a man cutting ham with a knife. His pork sword, if you will.
Oh.
He turns to me and says, how are the slices looking, love? Thicker, I reply. Always thicker. I'm greedy that way. Then out comes the ham bags and vinegar. He proudly proclaims that vinegar has been used as a preserving agent since the mid-17th century.
Hot.
Mmm, yeah. Naughty ham history vibes. He picks up the bone and takes a nibble, full Fred Flintstone style. That's enough! I scream, yabba dabba, do it now. Cut me a slice, my bulging buff butcher boy.
Your wife has never once called you that.
She maybe thought it. You don't know. You're not in her mind. I felt a big, big day on the show yesterday. It was a big day. I felt our relationship took a big old step forward, Gabby, after you admitted you were wrong.
I did.
That doesn't happen very often.
Because I'm not wrong very often. Let's
I can
leave
feel that,
one. That
relationship
Let's leave that one.
deteriorating again. So it's all about the movie Die Hard.
Mm.
Yippee-ki-yay, mother.
And you and I have been at loggerheads every Christmas.
Yes.
This is, I think, our fourth Christmas working together. Mm-hmm. Over whether or not Die Hard is a Christmas movie. And I remember I was at a JB Hi-Fi one year, and it was in the Christmas movie section.
I was furious.
So I deliberately took a photo
yeah.
and sent it to you like, ah, I'm
it's
right.
It's not a Christmas movie.
And you've always passionately argued that. This was you on the show yesterday.
I would get the nails out and I would fight dirty
yeah.
because I did not believe it was a Christmas movie. I had actually never seen the movie.
Well, well, well. Aren't we a hypocrite?
I had never watched the whole thing. I just knew the basics.
So you watched it over the weekend. Yeah,
yeah.
You knew what yippee-ki-yay
yeah.
meant and that sort of stuff.
I knew the gist.
You watched it over the weekend.
Mm.
You didn't actually say, what was your thoughts?
I loved
as a film?
It. I thought it was such a great film. I really enjoyed it. And I have realized the error of my ways. And yes, it is in fact a Christmas movie.
It's beginning to look a lot like...
It's based at Christmas. It's a Christmas party. There's Christmas songs throughout.
Yeah.
It's very much a Christmas movie.
Oh. All right. Now,
take a look at the 5 and 10.
What I want to put the microscope on is, once again, this morning is the act of judging something fiercely to the point where you will defend it and you will jump up and down and you'll be fierce about this thing for years despite the fact never actually experiencing it. And I think this happens a lot in society.
Judging a book by its cover,
I think we make a judgment on something. Usually it's a judgment, like a negative judgment. We'll go, I don't like XYZ, despite the fact that I've never actually tried it.
Yeah.
And that's what you did with...
Yeah.
With Die Hard. Now, I want to go to Producer Brooke here because we often laugh that Producer Brooke eats like a five-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one particular item of food that she absolutely despises. What's the item of food you won't eat?
Baked beans.
Have you ever tried baked beans?
Have you tried baked beans?
No, but they're disguising themselves as pasta.
What?
This is what we do.
A weird explanation.
We rationalize it.
I've
got to put it out there, Brooke. The sentence you said makes no sense whatsoever. Let's try it. Let's explore this a bit. How is it disguising itself as pasta, Brooke? Explain that.
Well, like you get a can of spaghetti, it's exactly the same except it's just beans, but it just shouldn't be a thing.
So beans in pasta sauce, pretending
Don't
to be pasta.
Start picking holes in her
you
argument.
So
we will be here
funny.
For a very, very long time. 13, 10, 60. Can we put it out there? What do you think? What did you think you didn't like, but you've never tried it? What? No. Okay. I'll say it in language that I guess these people will be more inclined to agree with. What do you hate?
But you've never tried.
Because I wrote down here the word think. What do you think you don't like? But you never tried it. But you don't think you don't like it. You just don't
you
like
know
it. What do you not like, everyone? What do you despise, despite the fact you have never tried it? 13, 10, 60.
Could be food. Could be movies.
I'm going to throw our boss, anything. Dan, under the bus as well. He had another food one. He said mushrooms.
Yeah, he's never actually tried them.
Never tried a mushroom.
But he just knows he that he'll them. Hate them if he does.
13, 10, 60. Have a think about it and feel free to dob in the person in your life. Dan has given us a call. Dan, what do you hate despite the fact you've never actually tried it or experienced it?
I've never seen Flashdance, Footloose or Rocky Horror Picture Show, but I refuse to because I think they'd be ridiculous.
Kevin Bacon dancing around an old industrial warehouse. You're missing out, Dan.
Yeah, you've picked the wrong crowd here, Dan.
You are missing out.
Gabby's the girl who wore out the Dirty Dancing video cassette, mate.
Yeah. Have you seen Dirty Dancing?
No.
Okay.
But you hate it though, don't you?
My wife was in a play for Footloose.
You're gone. You're off the show. In fact, you're banned, mate. You're not allowed to call for 5 days. You're banned from the show. Joy's here next. Joy, what do you hate even though you never tried it?
Coffee.
Joy!
I think this is another ban. Joy, why have you never tried coffee?
It's so good,
no,
Joy.
I never enjoyed the smell of it, so I've never tasted it.
Okay.
I think that's actually fair because the smell plays a lot into the taste unless you're talking about Parmesan cheese.
Yeah.
And then they're two very separate
things. I know,
things.
Though. I will say, too, like, I don't particularly enjoy the smell of coffee, but god damn, hot boy, I like to drink the stuff.
Do you like the taste or do you like the feeling?
I probably like the feeling.
A few years ago, someone said to me I should sip a little bit every day to get used to it.
Well, why would you want to?
You don't like it.
Nah.
You don't force yourself.
It's an addiction. Don't, you know.
Hey, you're probably better off than all
you're
of us.
You're better without it. Is it Drina? Is that how I say your name?
No, it's Adrena.
Adrena. Sorry, Adrena.
Yeah.
So what do you hate even though you never tried it?
It's not actually me. It's my husband.
Oh, okay.
He hates olives and he calls them the devil's hemorrhoids.
Yes.
So I try and sneak them into food and that, and he can find them like a hound
dog.
Yeah,
they're very distinct.
I taste hemorrhoids in this. Devil's hemorrhoids.
I'm producer Brooke, and apparently I eat like a five-year-old. But today, I'm trying for the very first time...
Spam! Spammy, spam, spam.
Bring it on.
Producer Brooke was actually excited about this one, thinking that Spam was going to be delicious. But now that it's opened and literally plopped onto the plate, Producer Brooke, how are you feeling?
I feel like I'm about to eat cat food. I didn't realise it would have jelly.
I feel like plopping is the only way you can describe the act of getting Spam out of the actual tin.
It's like...
because you don't scoop it out. You don't pull it out. It just goes...
yeah.
Like it literally plops out onto the plate. And it's a brick of ham. I'm
and
a
it does
fan
have a very
Spam.
Distinct smell.
I'm a Spam fan.
Spam fan.
But I always cook it up. Like I'll cook it in the fry pan with some eggs or whatever.
Mm.
And it's delicious.
But we're doing it just straight out of the can today. Straight onto the plate and chopped up. Producer Brooke is slicing into it at the moment. What's the texture of it as you slice it?
It's not pleasant.
Does it feel like ham or is it a bit more mushy?
No, it kind of like... it's just mush.
It was ham once, I promise. The reason we chose Spam today, just while Brooke gets ready to eat it for the first time, we chose Spam because next week we're one-upping it with Cliffo and Gabby's Helping Hams.
Yes.
So nominate someone who deserves a delicious Oakfield leg of ham from Cornet Supermarkets at hit.com.au.
It's a million times better than Spam,
yeah.
But that's okay.
We were talking about that, and Brooke's like, oh, you know, I've eaten ham, loves ham, but she's like, I've never had Spam. We're like, of course you haven't.
Take
you
a bite, Brooke. Please. Take a bite.
I got to be honest, I always commend Brooke, and I'll
she
do it again.
She takes a big one.
The commitment to the cause, she always takes a big bite. You do not pussyfoot around.
Oh, and she also swallows it whole if she's not enjoying it, and I feel like that's what just happened.
The face screwed up like a cat's ass, but that's okay. taste test criteria time. First reaction, Producer Brooke, just Spam.
Not as bad as I was expecting.
Okay.
Oh.
But.
Yeah. That's good.
Flavour. Does the food have a nice flavour?
It's a little bit bland. I feel like it'd be better if it was cooked. I've literally eaten it just straight out of the can. Like, if you fried it up, it would be amazing, I reckon.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's cooked, but it's not warmed up.
Yeah, right.
You're having it room temperature, you know.
You're a texture gal, so
yes.
Let's talk texture. How do you rate its texture?
Oh, I might give it a 4. I kind of just tried to eat it as fast as I can because I liked the taste of it, but it was like, ooh, this is a bit mushy and weird.
I like that you've given it a number. It doesn't actually say anything about the texture, but it's a 4. We'll go with that. Like, we're nodding like we know what you
mean. Yeah, sure, yeah.
It's a 4, cool. Yeah. Is it too sweet, sour, salty, or bitter?
It's really salty, but I'm a savoury gal, so not bad.
Not
There's
bad.
There's a lot of sodium in Spam.
not surprised by that at all.
Eat it sparingly.
All right, would you eat this food again?
Yeah, I reckon I'll fry up the rest of it.
Do you know what? I'm not surprised. It's a very processed food, so we shouldn't be shocked that Producer Brooke loves it.
It's a very processed kind of gal.
You just finished listening to the Cliffo and Gabby podcast. Wrapped up thanks to Spotlight. Spotlight has everything you need to create, decorate, and celebrate this Christmas.